Hello and welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Nick Stacey podcast show. Of course, I'm Nick Stacey and I have the really cool job to help you improve your knowledge surrounding business, health, wealth, cryptocurrencies and blockchains. And as you probably know, I do this by simply discussing my successes and failures and by interviewing great people from many diverse fields to break down essentially what makes them the best at what they do, by understanding their habits, routines, philosophies, beliefs, and asking their opinion on various topics. Today, my episode is number 12. I can't believe I'm on episode number 12, and I also wanted to take this opportunity to thank all of you for listening over my last episodes that I've created over the last kind of 4 to 5 weeks. I'm absolutely overwhelmed by the amount of people that are listening to this, so thank you all so much for listening, and a big thanks to any of you that are brand new listening. I always appreciate new listeners, and please do share everything you hear if you like it with any of your friends or associates. I would really appreciate it. So this episode is really kind of cryptocurrency focused. I've brought on a really nice guy. I found him on Twitter by following him for quite a period of time now. His name's Dan, and you'll find him on Twitter as the 360 underscore trader. Now, Dan is kind of well known in the cryptocurrency world currently. He has been voted and selected within the top 10 cryptocurrency traders by the ICO Journal, and he has also been selected in the top 20 cryptocurrency influencers in 2018 by CryptoClarified.com. Now, this gentleman has been in the military, and he has also been a military brat and travelled all over the world with his father, who was in the US Air Forces. He's been very, very busy over the years, so he currently owns two businesses, and he also offers a free service via his 360 Trader platform, where he teaches you how to trade in cryptocurrencies and other stocks. There is some paid content there, but the majority of it is free, and you know what? He is an exceptionally nice gentleman. So in this episode, we talk a little bit about his mindset and his experiences of being a child and moving around so much, and how that may have helped him or hindered him in his careers over the years. Not only has he been in the military, but he's taught himself to trade and invest in the early 90s and realized he had a good knack for it. And started a website a few years ago called the Optimist-Trader.com, where he taught technical analysis or fundamental analysis for several companies and online entities, along teaching individuals on how to trade stocks and shares. But yeah, I mean, currently this guy is known much more for his experiences within the cryptocurrency world. He gives advice on how to buy and sell cryptocurrencies in a safe manner. So without further ado, please enjoy this episode, and please remember to leave me feedback at the end if you feel there's anything that I should need to know. Enjoy, guys. Okay, hi Dan, or also known as the 360 Trader on Twitter. Thanks so much for joining me today and coming on for an interview. I know there's lots of people that listen to my podcast that are really keen to hear from you, along with, I think, lots of your followers I've noticed on Twitter. So thanks for taking the time to jump on.
Oh, thank you so much, Nick. I've been looking forward to this for a while, brother.
Have you never been on a podcast before?
No, you're the first, man. I've been holding out for you. I do have some other invites, but you were the first to reach out, so I wanted to make sure that we did yours first, brother.
Well, awesome. Thank you, Dan. I really appreciate that. I've been quite keen to speak to you as well. There's a few things I want to learn from you about cryptocurrencies, but we'll get to that very shortly. But what I normally like to do is learn a little bit about each of kind of the people that come on first, so everybody gets to understand who you are as well. So I normally start with kind of where you grew up, where you were born. And as I know, you've kindly sent some information over, and you've told me you're born in a picturesque place in the world called Vermont in the US.
Yes.
As a military brat living all over the world, Germany, Spain, Italy, Turkey, Middle East, and all over the US. But What I'd like to know is, I'm ex-military myself, but my father wasn't in the military, so I have no experience of growing up with, you know, a parent who was in the military, and it's always kind of fascinated me. I've got friends, but I've never actually really asked the question, particularly to anyone from the US either. So can you tell me a little bit about what your childhood was like, moving around so much and having a father that was in the military?
Absolutely, Nick. Well, first of all, thank you for your service there on that. Anyone who's done service definitely deserves a big thanks. So thank you for that.
Same to you.
And real quick, aren't congratulations in order? I heard you were in the top 100 for podcasts here recently. Is that true?
I was. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I was. I was quite surprised, to be honest with you. It's moving on a lot quicker than I expected. I only started doing podcasts purely to learn from other people, not to really gain anything. But it's getting quite exciting at the moment.
Well, congratulations to you. I can definitely understand why I went back and listened to a few of your recent ones. And I can definitely understand how you got ranked, brother. So congratulations there.
Awesome. Thank you, Dan.
So basically, I would definitely not. I don't regret anything about being a brat, and I wouldn't give any of it back. You know, there's things that you miss out on, and one of those things is a lot of people that grow up in the same location. You know, they're able to build those long lasting relationships, have these friends that they've had for life. You know, and really just plant roots. So. Mm-hmm. So that would be what I think most people would consider the negative. However, the positives for me, I think far exceed any of those, you know, because I've been able to, even from a child, I've traveled the world, and, you know, I've made many friends. Now, I do have a flaw. I'll tell you one of my flaws.
Yeah.
One of my flaws is because I've spent most of my life moving, you know, every couple years, 2 to 3 years. I haven't kept friends from location to location. Like, I'm just so habitually on the move throughout my life that I just never developed that ability to have lifelong friends, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
So yeah, so that part was difficult, but on the opposite side of that coin, I've been able to. That's my dog in the background.
That's okay.
I have a little Malty poo, and he's like a little alarm. So
it's okay. If anyone's listening out, by the way, are you in Texas at the moment?
I am. I am. I'm actually out in East Texas. I spent a lot of time in Dallas, you know, on business. But so I'm kind of back and forth, and I do a lot of traveling. But yeah. So for the military thing, I would definitely say that getting to see the world, experiencing different cultures. Mm-hmm. Having that whole life, that whole world, type of a lifestyle, I've absolutely loved it. And it's something that I continue to do even now that I'm retired. You know, I enjoy, there's still so much of the world I haven't seen.
Yeah.
But I'm very adventuresome because of that past that I got from being a brat. So,
yeah. I can imagine, though. I mean, as a child, did you find it difficult, though, at all? You know, tell me a bit about that. What was it like as a child? I mean, obviously, now you're an adult and you've, you know, you're kind of fully grown, let's say.
Yeah.
You know, you can look back at it and realize the positives from it. Was there any time when you were younger where you found it difficult moving around all the time and not being able to make friends?
Sure, sure. I think the difficult thing was moving from in and out of schools. You know, there was some years I'd be in a couple schools in 1 year. I mean, so that part, you know,
yeah, but
even if you go from second grade to second grade, from a school to school, they're not exactly moving at the same pace.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a habit of being able to pick up what you've missed, and you're not really starting where you stopped. You're just kind of picking up wherever they're at. So to me, that was probably the most difficult thing. And then always being the outsider, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine.
Yeah. Always being the outsider. That part was difficult.
Yeah. I can imagine. So, so was your father in the Air Forces?
Correct. He was in the U.S. Air Force. He did about 22 years, believe. So he did the full. Yeah, absolutely. So we got to live kind of everywhere and a very honorable career. And, you know, my father is to this day is definitely my hero.
Well, absolutely. Because, you know, you, as I've learned, you've been in the Air Forces as well. And you did correct. 20 years. Is that correct?
That is correct. I did 20, and that was enough for me.
You couldn't push out the extra two like your father. No,
that's right. So I guess he beat me on that one.
Did you feel that because your father was in the Air Force, it was something that you had to carry on as a tradition? Or was it just something that your father inspired you and you thought, I fancy a piece of that as well?
You know, honestly, I did test college out of high school. I went to Pensacola Christian College, Florida for a semester. And
okay.
I just wasn't at the point in my life that I didn't enjoy it. Like, I just didn't feel like I was doing what I was supposed to do, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, for that time.
Yeah, for that time period in my life. And looking back on all the, you know, my father's career and everything that he did and how successful he was and how great of a family we had, you know, I love the idea of it. And, you know, so I kind of just jumped right in with both feet. And yeah, so it was kind of one of those things that I saw as an exciting, adventuresome life. You know, a lot of people join the military for many reasons. You know, some do join for college. Which I did do eventually when I was ready for it. But for me, it was that life, that adventuresome life, you know, that I was used to.
Absolutely. And did you see any action, if you don't mind me asking, Dan?
I did. I actually, it's funny when you ask somebody that's in the Air Force that if they did, they were either, pilots, which I was not, I was actually enlisted. Or it's the security force members, which are, you know, the ground pounders of the Air Force. So a lot of times when you say Air Force, you've heard it. I know you have.
I'm thinking Top Gun.
You were in the chair force.
Yeah. I was thinking Top Gun, actually, Dan, but, you know.
I gotcha. So, you know, I did a bunch of deployments. I was actually, a lot of people may not know or remember in 96 when Khobar Towers blew up, I was actually in Dahran during that terrorist attack.
Oh, wow.
That was early on in my Air Force career. I'd only been in for 2 years. So to see that, you know, right from the get-go was a definite eye-opener for me. And it just, like I said, if you joined the military for college and then you see something like that, you realize just how big being in the military really is and just how serious it is.
Yeah.
So, and then all along throughout my career, you know, I've been deployed through all of the adventures that the U.S. has been involved in. But there towards the end, you know, I spent time in Afghanistan and Bagram and kind of all over the Middle East. So I did get my share of fun on the ground.
Have you got any scary stories, Jan?
We have some, definitely. I think a few that come to mind are, you know, that maybe possibly people can understand as being a horror story. You know, when you're actually on patrol and you're on foot and, you know, you got your gun in your hand and you're with your team and you're a leader.
Yeah.
You know, adrenaline takes over and the job takes over and there's literally no fear. You know, that's just the way it happened for me. But when you're in the rack.
Yeah.
And you hear the sound of incoming. You hear it whistling through the air, you know, mortars, incoming mortars, and you hear the whistle through the air. That's horrible because you're in the rack, and I can remember thinking to myself, hey, God, just let me get my pants on before this thing hits. Just let me, if I'm going to die, I want to die with my pants on. So just let me get my pants on before this thing hits.
Yes.
And there's a couple others like, you know, when you're outside the line, you know, a lot of our vehicles have what's called RPG netting around.
Yeah.
Them.
Yeah.
And so getting to see, you know, the head of an RPG hit that netting and either not detonate or detonate, you know, is extremely, extremely nerve wracking. If you can understand.
Yeah, I can completely. It's difficult to get out in words, isn't it? I mean, I think seeing it makes visualizing it is a bit easier, but
absolutely.
But I'm sure people understand. Now, Dan, you've been really busy even throughout your years, you know, the 20 years you did in the Air Force, you know, you've told me that you've been, you know, you've got degrees in associates in criminal justice, teaching associates military, and you've got a bachelor's in sports and recreation management, and plus you've been a bodybuilder. How do you fit all of these kind of things in?
So I'm a big idealist. I'm a big dreamer, but there's a difference between an idealist and a dreamer who just dreams them and then never does them.
Yep.
I think the world is filled with those type of people. And that's great, because those are the kind of people that can, you know, especially in business, they can bring things to the table. They may not know how to execute them, but they can bring them to the table, and then the rest of the team can kind of do what they're good at and make that thing come happen. So I'm lucky to be one of those people that when I dream something, I literally do everything I can to accomplish it. For example, the bodybuilder one, I was a scrawny kid throughout my entire elementary, junior high, teenage life. I was scrawny.
Yeah.
I told everybody I could that I was going to be a bodybuilder and get on stage when I was skinny, before I touched a single weight, if you know what I mean. And then, of course, years down the road, it took me years. This isn't something that I could accomplish in 2-3 years. You know, years down the road, in 2003 and 2004, I finally was big enough and had put in the years of effort to be able to actually accomplish and check that box that, hey, and do what I said I was going to do. So that's kind of me, man. I'm a hobbyist. I always have tons of hobbies going on.
Yeah.
I always have, you know, all these goals, but I don't just write them down. I do what I can to accomplish them.
Definitely. It's really important to do that, isn't it? And I think, you know, anybody listening that I think, you know, you've got a great attitude actually for cramming all of these things in over the years. And some people will probably look at you and think, wow, I couldn't deal with that. But it's all about mindset, isn't it? And instead of worrying about it, just doing it. Would you
Absolutely.
Agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, we could probably take this back to my lifestyle as being a brat and having to pick things up and put things down and as being that foundation, living that type of lifestyle of being how I am right now.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Now, you're also a vegan. When did that come into your life? Have you always been a vegan?
No. So honestly, I haven't been a vegan for that long. However, it's one of those things that where once you know something, you can't unknow it.
Yeah.
And you know, without being controversial, because this is a very...
Be completely open and raw.
It's like anytime you talk up anything that's religious or, you know, people want to fight you about it. And you know, when I say I'm a vegan, I'm not a vegan who judges someone else, because let me tell you something, Nick, here's the thing. I actually love meat.
Yeah.
I love to eat meat. That's me being honest. I am a natural meat eater. I spent most of my life eating meat. You know, I was told, yeah, you have that blood type, you need meat, you need to continuously eat meat, you have to eat meat to get protein, you can't make muscle without meat, all those things.
Yeah,
all those things, you know. And you know, I've just seen too many reports, too many things and my health, I started suffering that. I guess I should have really talked about that first as the main reason as to why I went vegan, and that was I started to have, I became pre-diabetic.
Okay.
You know, and I do have some diabetes in my family on my mom's side. My grandma had it, bless her soul, and she passed away. That was one of the reasons why. But, you know, I was pre-diabetic. I was having a lot of inflammation. I was having a lot of joint pain, a lot of different lethargy, a lot of just things that weren't right in my body, you know, blood sugar levels, all these different things. And so that was the main push towards the vegan lifestyle. And as soon as I adopted that, those things began to disintegrate and fall away. And my pre-diabetes went out the window. My blood sugar levels.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and people always point at sugar. Now I'm about to get controversial, and I know you're going to love this.
Yeah, go for it.
People want to point the finger at sugar. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you do your actual research and your homework, the reason why sugar is the culprit is because it's all of the fats and the saturated fats that create walls that block the cells that are supposed to be able to absorb and use sugar. So we automatically think that it's the sugar, when in fact, the sugar that we're supposed to be able to process and assimilate, we can no longer do so because our cells that are able to function that sugar and to move that sugar are blocked by fat.
Right. Okay. That's interesting. I'd never heard that one. I've taken a note of that, and I'm going to do some more research on that, because that's pretty interesting. I think I've heard something somewhere before, very, very similar. And it would make sense, to be honest with you. It would completely make sense. So come on, tell me. So diabetes, and is it, I mean, any other reasons, Dan? There's got to be more reasons why you went vegan. And I'll tell you why I'm focusing.
No, I know what you're fishing for. Yeah,
I'll tell you why. Hey, listen, to be honest, Dan, I've considered going vegan. And for the same reason as you, for health reasons, I have psoriasis, and was about 70% psoriasis on my body now. And I don't really want to start taking some of the systematic drugs that the doctors want to give me here. So looking at, and eating meat particularly is not a great thing because of certain proteins within the meat for my skin. Although I'm sure there's other factors as well. I'm trying to eliminate certain parts of it. And there's also on the other side, one other reason, particularly beef, which I try and avoid anyway. And that's not because, you know, I think I'll save the animals. It's not that at all. I mean, it would probably benefit them, but me making that commitment to being a vegan wouldn't make that much difference. But I really hate how everybody blames emissions on, here we go, I'm getting controversial now. How, you know, CO2 emissions are blamed on car fuels, aren't they? And diesel cars particularly. But in actual fact, cattle produce more CO2 emissions into the environment than cars do and ever have done. Yes. And that's why when I have my view on beef. So there you go. There's mine, Dan.
Yeah. I gotcha. It's okay. Hey, I was controversial. You're controversial. That's good. That's good. So Nick, I would say, you know, just as kind of a prerequisite of doing your own homework, on Netflix, I would go check out What the Health.
Yeah. Okay.
And I would check out Forks Over Knives.
Okay.
So you're going to learn some things. There are some things in especially What the Health that really disturbed me about, for example, the American Heart Association, the Diabetes Association. Go look at who their sponsors are. And you'll see that when you watch this. Guess who sponsors these organizations?
Hey,
yep.
McDonald's.
Dairy, meat. Dairy, meat. Yes, they are actually controlled. They are actually completely under control by these conglomerate corporations, as is so many things in this world.
Doesn't surprise me, actually.
That's right. Big business has control. Whoever has the money has the power.
Yeah.
So you'll learn some things, you know, in there, but also they'll give you some other facts. For example, if when you actually look at how much mucus is in milk, okay, and I know, yes, actually go find out how much mucus is actually in milk.
I'm taking notes.
Yes. What percentage of meat is actually covered in feces? Up to 98%. I mean, it's actually just when you see these facts, these scientific facts. Oh, and when you realize just how quick a huge cow is, how much time is spent inspecting that meat, you know how it's supposed to be USDA inspected?
Yeah.
Look at how much time under inspection. It's literally seconds for an entire cow where the meat is actually inspected.
Yeah, I mean, that's not great.
Yeah, you can't ignore facts. Facts are facts, you know. Chickens in chicken coops that are walking all over the dead chickens and disease. There's a number of things that I could lay out for you, but I'm at that age now where my health is I have to pay attention to it. And then B, you know, there are other factors out there. And I have to be honest with you, Nick. I actually knew about some of these factors before I became a vegan. Mm-hmm. And because I was such a meat eater and I was such a proponent of meat, I just said, nah, come on, this isn't, you know, I wanted to put a blind eye and a blind ear towards it.
Yeah, because you enjoying your steak too much. Well,
That's right.
Well, look, before we don't want to start an uprising here with the listeners.
Oh, my goodness. Hopefully I'm not hated too much now.
No. Hey, look, I think everybody likes it. Everybody likes a bit of, you know, this sort of stuff. They can leave comments. It starts conversation. So it's great, Dan. Don't sweat.
Awesome.
But I think what most people are going to really want to know about, and so we will get straight to it, is, you know, a bit about your 360 trader life. You know, I'm really keen to understand what motivates you with that a lot more. But firstly, how did you get into investing? You know, I know you started in the early 90s, and, you know, it would appear you have a knack for it. So how did that come about? You know, how have you gone from being a military man to becoming a full-time trader, I take it, Dan? Is that right?
Yes, I actually, and I'm an entrepreneur. I actually own two other businesses as well. So I kind of do a lot.
You're doing loads. You're doing loads. Okay, Dan, so I know everybody wants to know this. You know, you're very well known on Twitter for, you know, cryptocurrencies, talking about your 360 trader. But what I'd really love to know is how you started trading and investing, because you do this full time now, and being a military man and now being a full time trader, where did that come from?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pretty basic story, really. But it started in my early, very, very early 20s. I had just joined the military, but I was a financial wreck, as are many new recruits. That's why so many of them joined the military. But I was a financial wreck. You know, I had a lot of debt, a lot of credit problems, and of course, not making much money. You know, as you know, you start out in the military, you really aren't making a whole lot. You know, you can make a pretty decent income eventually, but it never starts out that way.
Yeah. Never.
So, and you know, and then of course I fell in love, I wanted to get married, but I knew my financial situation was pretty dire. So I was like, I've got to stop this. I've got to do something about it. I've got to make a change. And, you know, when I decided to make a change, I literally make it happen. I'm like that with anything that I want to do in my life. You know, if I want to make a change, I'm going to make it happen. So I said, I'm going to make this happen. I've got to make a change, but I don't know what to do. I teach myself almost everything that I'm good at. So I, instead of going to a professional or sitting down with a counselor and paying a bunch of money, I literally, when my fiance went to Applebee's to work as a waitress, I spent that entire time at Barnes and Noble's reading book after book after book. Now, I didn't pay for a single book. They put all those nice, comfortable chairs inside Barnes and Noble's for a reason, right?
Yep, true. Yeah,
so
why not?
Yeah, I would sit in there for hours and literally read book after book after book. And everything from debt, how to get out of debt, to basic finances, to how do you save, to what is an emergency fund, to you name it. And that progressed, and I found my love for this material just exploding until I got to the point of investing. And I actually went and got licenses from Primerica. I got my insurance license, and then I got a securities license, and it just grew and grew until I started getting into the, you know, more of the Wall Street and the stock market.
Yeah,
and that's when the alarms went off in my head, and I'm like, this is the ticket right here. You know, and I became very good at it. You know, I figured out very early on that I had the psychological profile, which, as you know, or may not know, psychology is literally the key to whether you are going to be successful in trading or not. It's never the system. It's never the platform that you use. It's not your technique. It is literally, are you psychologically able to do it?
Yeah, and I've learned that very quickly by losing money.
Brother, if I could show you how many people, just from being on my Twitter, that I've converted from trading world to the very much easier on your emotional, mental, physical health world, invest world of cryptocurrencies, you would be stunned. Many, many, many people, you know, once they realize just how difficult trading is, you know, become investors or holders, as they say in the crypto.
Yeah,
holders. You know, so that's basically where I got my go. And I actually had a company during the internet boom called the Optimist Trader. I started that, and I started teaching people how to do what I do online. Literally, I would hold live online classes, and I would teach people how to trade, how to read charts. You name it, I was teaching it, and this is stuff I was doing while I was in the service, while I was in the military.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, so that's where I got my foundation. That's how I built myself. Now, flip over to now, all of a sudden, we have this new, fresh market called cryptocurrencies, where I saw the potential now for not just for people to get into something that's been around for years, but for people to have a chance
to get
in literally ground floor, which I still consider we are at right now.
Oh, we are mega early days. I completely agree with you.
Absolutely. So now the average investor has a chance to be ground floor in a fresh, new, evolving market. Now that doesn't make it any less scary, any less volatile, or any less risky. You still have to make sure that you're in the right, you know, play, mm-hmm. the right trades, whatever the case might be.
Sure.
So that's, hopefully that answered your question as to how I got started.
Yeah, it did completely. And when did you get into cryptocurrencies? You know, when did you start trading in those?
Not from the get-go, but I'll just tell you this. I've been in it long enough to be in on the big three. When I say big three, that's what I call Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Litecoin.
Yep.
Since their early days. So when they were in single digits. So, I've been blessed.
Are you still holding some of those positions, Dan, if you don't mind me asking?
So are you ready for this?
Go for it.
I haven't sold anything.
Wow. That's cool.
I trade, and this is something that a lot of people are learning about me with 360 Trader. Mm-hmm. I trade stocks. I trade options. I am actually, my wife actually is a very successful options trader.
Oh, cool. That's pretty handy.
Yeah. So I trade those markets. I do not trade cryptos, and I'll tell you why. I actually invest in them. I hold them, but I do not trade them. And the reason is because that market, the rules for trading are still being written for cryptocurrencies. Yeah. It's too fresh. It's too young. It's still evolving. We're not there yet. Exchanges are too risky. It's 24/7. Just ask the traders how well they sleep at night.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they don't. They don't. They're up all night. Their stomachs hurt. They're having physical manifestations of stress.
Yeah.
Because it's a very volatile market.
Yeah, I have to admit, I can feel their pain. I've been there and done that. You know, as I say, I learned the hard way by sitting up all night, checking my exchange, checking what's going on, and panic selling. You know, and then I look back at some of my trades from about 2 years ago. One of them was on Ethereum, and I think it was at like $40 a coin, and it went. It went up to 140 and then went back down to 40. And I thought, this is the end of everything.
That's right.
And then it went down to $20. And I thought, oh my God, it's going to bottom out. And I sold out. And then within a week, it was up to like $400.
Yes.
And I learned very, very quickly that, as you say, holding is very key at the moment. Unless, I think you'd probably agree with this. For example, if someone had bought Bitcoin at the beginning of last year and they sold it at its peak at the end of last year, that's a pretty good trade.
Hey, profits are profits, brother.
Yeah, too
profits
right.
Profits are profits. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not saying it can't be done. But as
not day trading, can it? It can't be day traded.
Exactly.
It's impossible.
That's right.
And you know, there's people that feel that they get sucked into these silly pump and dump groups, don't they? And they fall for that trap where they see people buying and selling. They watch the charts go up and down. And they think they can join in on it, and it all goes horribly wrong.
Yeah. So these are very manipulative markets. They're very, very easy to manipulate. And that's because of the way the exchanges are so decentralized. The exchanges aren't offering the same price as, you know, in the stock market. If I buy through Charles Schwab, it's going to be the same price as if I bought through Scottrade. That's not the way this works in the crypto world. You know, the exchanges have different pricing. It's easy to manipulate those markets. Pump and dump groups abound. I love that the SEC is actually offering. I've actually sent this information to sell my followers who actually have evidence.
Yep.
They've taken snapshots from rooms. And I'm like, look, hey, here's the website. Here's the link. SEC is paying big bucks for information on these groups, anything that you can get. So I'm directing as many as I can.
SEC.
That's right.
Well, is that in the US? Is it?
It's the Security and Exchange Commission. That's right.
SEC. Wow. I'm going to make a note. If I can get a reward for grassing these people up, because I've seen so much of it, I'm
that's
for
right.
It.
That's right. If you have evidence that will direct them towards these pump and dumpers.
Yeah.
They are looking for them. They are going after them. And I think it's great.
I do too.
It's going to help to balance and level out the playing field. You know, there's enough volatility in cryptos without having to worry about price fluctuations because of the pump and dumps.
It's just cheating as well, isn't it, at the end of the day? There's
100%.
There's poor people sitting there joining in on the hype, saying, oh, yeah, you know, you can earn money on, you know, follow our pump and dump group, and then they lose thousands and thousands of it. I mean, some would argue that it's the investor's fault, but it's not, is it really? It's
what
the people.
What I want people to understand is by getting involved in these groups, in order for that to work, somebody has to hurt.
Yep.
In order for that to happen, you have to cause damage to someone else.
Yeah.
That, there is no getting around that. So if you have no scruples, no morals, I mean, if you're going to participate in something like this, there's no accountability. You know, it's one of those things without law, mm-hmm. you know, there's a very thin veil of civilization. Without rules and regulations for certain things, people just do crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? It's mad.
It's nuts. No accountability at all.
No, and then particularly as the media is saying that everybody is turning into a Bitcoin millionaire overnight.
that's not helping.
It'd be nice. I probably wouldn't be speaking to you, Dan, if that was the case.
That's right. That's right. That's not helping anybody.
Okay, so tell me, 360 Trader, as you say, it's a life concept, a whole person, a whole that's financial right. picture. Explain it to anybody that's listening right now that is thinking about getting into trading cryptocurrencies. I personally, you know, I followed you on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I would advise anybody to follow you on Twitter as well, which is at 360 Trader. Because, you know, the advice you give out is honest and, you know, you don't over exaggerate things. You're completely raw. But explain to everybody what you do now, because a lot of your content is free, isn't it?
Absolutely. Literally, I would say 95% of it. The only thing that I actually charge for is something that was I'm offering by demand because it was asked for. And that's and that just recently started. That's a monthly ICO report that I release. And that's, you know, me scouring the hundreds and hundreds of ICOs to find those that I believe will be successful in the future. And then mm-hmm. putting that out by way of a report. But everything else that I've done, everything that I do with my portfolios, you know, I say portfolio all the time because that's really what it is. You have these portfolio, all of my portfolios right now. I have the $1 million hold portfolio. I have the bottom feeder portfolio. And in April, towards the end of April, I'm going to initiate the what I call the submarine portfolio, which will be all sub penny cryptos that I believe okay. have the best chance of being successful in the future. But everything that I've done, I do for free. You know, I have a chart school starting in April. It's okay. going to be free online, live YouTube. You can watch me, and I'm going to start from the bottom. So someone that has no idea how to chart, no idea what they're looking at, they will be able to get on there, and I'll teach them from square one, basic chart stuff. But that's I cool. do need to say this. The 360, why I get that all the time. Why 360? What does that mean? Yes, it's about a whole 360 financial picture, but it's also about your life.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I post other things. You know, I post pictures of beautiful things that I see. I post some of my hobbies, paintings, other, I post family stuff because crypto should have a spot in your life, but only that spot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's consuming people. It is literally destroying lives. I'm telling you, I get DMs from people that are like, my wife is upset at me, or my boyfriend is, yes, boyfriend, because there's women in crypto too.
Yeah, there
my
is.
Boyfriend is upset at me because I'm spending all my time doing this. I'm addicted. I need help. I'm telling you, I get this stuff
gee, really? Wow.
all the time. Yes, because it can consume you completely, and a lot of that is because of that $1 million millionaire overnight.
Yeah.
You know, I can be a millionaire overnight. It's that enticement. So the 360 Trader is about putting crypto in its spot. Crypto is but a mere fraction, a mere portion of what else I do. Are your debts paid? Are your bills paid? You know, can you afford to feed your family? Do you have emergency cash stashed away?
Okay.
Are all of those other blocks checked? That's so, part of the 360.
See, I wasn't aware of that at all. I didn't know that you were doing more of that too. I thought you were just completely cryptocurrency focused. So that's news to me. And that's even more interesting, actually. So
absolutely. Unfortunately, Twitter is so it's so hard on Twitter because it's just a row of tweets.
Yeah, well, so
if people don't see your latest tweet, they probably miss the ones five down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so exactly.
It's
yeah,
very limited.
It is. And so anybody that's new, yeah, let's start this. Anyone that's new to crypto or hasn't even put a penny or a dollar into it, what what's your first tip? What's your first bit of advice? Apart from listening to your stuff, of course, and that's my advice. It would be unfair for you to say that, but for me, I would say that definitely. But what's your biggest tip to anybody that's starting or that would like to
before they put a
in?
Penny, be sit down with your family, go over it with them, be an open book, don't hide anything, be honest about the money that you have that you can risk. Be honest about the amount that you can risk, that you can afford to put into crypto. Make sure everything else is okay. You know, your family's bills are being paid. Everything else is okay. Make sure that you assess your risk levels first. Mm-hmm. For example, you have to ask the hard questions. Are we okay if we lose this money? That's the first question. Would you be okay? Would your family be okay if you lost this money? If the answer is no, you need to reevaluate the money that you're putting in there.
Okay.
Or the portion that you're putting in there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure.
This is before you invest a dime. It's not about, you don't just jump in and say, which one do I pick? No, there's other things you need to do first. And that is the self-analysis, the self-evaluation, being an open book with your family, make sure everybody's on the same sheet of music.
Fair enough. That's a good start. You can really get better advice than that. And then I know I get this quite a lot, and you might find this difficult as well. I get lots of people asking me, where's the best place to trade as a beginner? What would be your opinion for that?
So honestly, that depends on what currency you're looking for, because as you know, not all exchanges carry all currencies. You know, you can buy the big three from Coinbase and then, you know, transfer that. But, you know, I like Binance. I've used KuCoin. I have Kraken. I have accounts all over, but I have those because, like I said, not all exchanges have every coin. Now, let me say this. Do not leave your tokens on the exchange. Do not leave your cryptocurrencies on the exchange. It's too risky. We've seen time and time again of exchanges locking down, of them getting hacked, of tokens disappearing, and so on and so forth. Now, so, in saying that, I cannot recommend a wallet because that, again, depends on what you're holding, what you have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I would definitely recommend a hardware wallet or cold storage. That means an offline storage. Or I would recommend people look into also paper wallets. So we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. And just to clarify for people that might not understand the token part of things, just to explain that a bit more. I mean, we're talking balance, aren't we, in exchange, basically. Any money that's not invested in a coin that's not being held, that's sitting on your exchange balance. Is that what you mean by tokens? Yeah.
And your cryptocurrencies, you know, don't leave your cryptocurrencies on the exchanges, you know, other than maybe, you know, a Coinbase. I know most people do because they're going to move that. But, you know, you want your cryptocurrencies, you want your tokens safe.
Yeah.
You want to own them. You know, you want to make sure you have the private keys. A lot of times when they're on the exchanges, you don't actually have control of that token or that crypto per se. So you want to get those tokens and you want to put them somewhere in a wallet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's tons of research, and we could do a whole nother episode on wallets. But
my recommendation
is cold storage or paper wallets, especially for the holder. The person that's investing long-term.
So, you know, you're teaching me something here. So I've got some, I'm not going to say the exchange, but I've got some money I've got some money invested in it through an exchange on 20 different coins. And I'm holding it within the exchange. Maybe this is something for off of this, but you're telling me that I shouldn't be holding it in the exchange, even though they're invested in coins through that exchange. I should be putting them in
That is correct.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I'll tap you up on that one. Okay. So
anytime.
That's really interesting. I always thought that was quite safe, but obviously not. I always thought it was when it was held as a balance within the exchange. So I'm definitely going to change that straight away. And I'm sure there's lots of people listening that will do the same too.
Yeah. I'll be more than willing to help you out with that.
Okay, that's really, really kind of you. Okay, so how can anybody get in touch with you? What's coming up? What are the key dates coming up that people need to be listening to what you're doing? That's what I'm interested in. That's what other people will be interested in too. So name me some dates.
Yeah, so I mean, if they get on my Twitter and they put me on alerts and notifications, you know, everything that I do, everything I have coming up, I literally post on there. I also do have My website, it's the360trader.com.
Okay.
Right now I have a pretty awesome competition contest going on. I don't know if you're aware of that, but
yeah, I think I'm on it.
Yeah. So I have a contest coming up. It actually ends, 1 April is the last day to submit, but the prizes are pretty, pretty incredible for that. And it's literally a two page paper on the 360 life and some questions that I put out there, but like the grand prizes, one includes like one Litecoin, a Bitcoin sculpture from Bitcoin Gallery, which by the way, if you have not seen bitcoingallery.art, this guy is absolutely fantastic. His name is Viking on Twitter. It's absolutely fantastic. He does sculptures of Bitcoin, of many tokens and cryptocurrencies. They're absolutely beautiful. You should check it out.
Definitely.
It includes 6 months of my 360 Trader ICO picks. And okay. I do a painting. So that's the grand prize.
Wow. Yeah. So there's loads.
And then second place has four prizes and third place has two prizes. So yeah. So there's that. There's the, I have my Dallas meetups tomorrow night at 7. So I put that out as well. That's going to be at the Hilton.
Okay.
And that location is also on my Twitter as well. And that's tomorrow night at 7.
And what are you sharing at the meetup, Dan?
So that's an opportunity. And that's the thing that I don't like about Twitter is the fact that it's pretty one-sided. Everybody kind of gets to know me, but I don't really get to know any of my followers. So as I travel, I'm going to try to do these meetups where I get to actually sit down with and meet some of the people that follow me on Twitter, and they can kind of get inside my head and I can answer questions and just meet them. It gives me a chance to see who they are.
Yeah, it must be a bit odd when you're communicating with everybody all the time, you say, and you don't even know who they are.
That's right, exactly. And I have free Discord. The other reason why I'm going to be doing a free Discord is because of how restrictive Twitter is for them to my members to interact with each other. Twitter, they don't really get a chance to unless you're on the same thread.
Yeah, exactly. Like you can miss them, can't you?
That's
anyway.
Right.
So it's very easy.
By having the Discord channel, that should start in April. My members will be able to get in there and kind of talk amongst themselves and bounce things off of themselves. Plus, I'll be in there as well. So that's coming up in April. I have the free chart school starting in April.
Cool.
Which we kind of talked about a little bit. So I like to keep things rolling. Oh, we have the submarine portfolio that's going to start probably the last week in April. And that's the same way I did my bottom feeder portfolio, brother. I'm doing it the same way. I'll actually be scouring the fields of cryptocurrencies to find five sub pennies, very inexpensive sub penny type cryptos that I'm going to put into a portfolio called the submarine portfolio. And we did the same thing with the bottom feeder portfolio, $500, $100 in each play.
Yep.
And it's a hold portfolio. We're going to do it again, but we're going to do it with sub pennies, and that's free.
Perfect. And how are they looking at the moment, or have they been a bit slammed recently of the last 2 or 3 weeks of cryptocurrencies?
Well, yeah, everything, alts are seeing a little bit of a bounce, but it's funny because I'm actually in my portfolios actually for years. Some people think they're holding, but they're really only looking 3 to 6 months down the road.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a little bit more dangerous. I'm actually in this for the long haul because I know what I know about the type of money that has not yet entered this market.
Absolutely. We're really early, aren't we? At the end of the
That's right. We're
still waiting for the heavy, heavy investors, and we're talking billions of dollars, millions and billions of pounds to fly in. That, I'm glad you've said that because I've been talking about that for such a long time. There's so many people that disagree with me, but then there's the odd few that do agree, and I believe the odd few will be the victors at the end of all of this in 10, 15, 20 years time.
Well, the economy, you're right. The economy of the crypto marketplace does not exist for institutional investing.
No.
It's not secure enough. They can't handle the trading size. And remember, with stocks, there's not an asset that you have to hold. With cryptocurrencies, they have to hold that token somehow.
Yeah.
They have to have a method that's safe to hold that. So there's many things that now they're being built. The technologies are being built for institutional investing, but it's not here yet.
No, not yet. I think we're close to it. And I think, you know, there's a lot of people that are suggesting that it's bad news that the world is cracking down on cryptocurrencies, but it's not. It's actually the best thing that can happen. Short term, it's going to be a killer. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of sleepless nights for a lot of people. But I think long term, it's actually for the better, for sure. But with that in mind, where do you see Bitcoin in 10 years time? Do you see that still floating around, or do you see that as going to die its death?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you really want to get deep down into my head, I believe Bitcoin is going to be a killer. I believe it is going to reach 30,000, 50,000, possibly even 100,000. I'm a believer in that.
Mm-hmm.
However, one day, I believe Bitcoin is going to go the road of, if I'm talking far into the future,
is going
to go the road of Kmart and Sears.
Yeah.
Kmart and Sears were kings of their time.
Yeah.
Bitcoin is the king.
Yeah.
And it's going to stay the king for quite a while. However, I don't believe it's going to be the everlasting king.
No, I completely agree. Well, it's the same, you know, when the dot-com boom and all that, how that went a bit tits up. And the same with computers as well. You remember, what was the old software on computers that you still
AOL?
AOL's gone, but yeah, exactly. I can't even think of it. But
MS-DOS?
Yeah, there you go. MS-DOS. That was amazing back in the day, wasn't it? And people thought it's never going to go, but it's gone completely. It's vanished.
That's
and
right.
We've got, you know, far greater things now. And that's what people need to keep their eye on is those opportunities. But before we wrap this up, another one I want to ask your opinion on is...
Sure.
XRP by Ripple Labs. What's your view on XRP and where do you see that being?
So it's funny because the camps on XRP are violent warriors. no matter what side you're on, it's full of violent warriors. You know, you have your anti XRP camp and they are hardened, and then you have your pro XRP camp and they are hardened. But let's look at the facts.
Yeah.
Show me a token. Show me a crypto that is as far along, as far advanced, has done as much as, and has the biggest outlook than Ripple, than XRP does. And I know that Ripple is not XRP. I know XRP is not Ripple. I don't want to get into that. That's a
yeah, we won't go there.
however, show me one. I mean, but these people that are anti XRP are going to be pro a crypto that has no product.
Yeah.
Which 90% of them have no technology yet. It's the thought of a technology. You have all these ICOs that are based on a technology that doesn't exist. People put their money in it, hoping and praying that it's going to come to pass.
Yeah, exactly.
You do not have that situation with XRP. You have it actually being tested and used by Western Union, yada, 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 yada. I am full speed ahead, Ripple XRP.
Well said, Dan. I'm with you on that too. I'm so pleased you said that. I'll let you see it as well. I'll forward you the link after this, which I'm going to upload later on this week. I've got an article I wrote about why XRP is the future.
Sure.
Loads and loads of points
I'd love
on
to
that.
See it.
Yeah, I'll send it to you so you can have a look on it. But yeah, I applaud you with that one. And what people are missing is I think it's so undervalued right now. I mean, it's still below a dollar, and I do not understand why it's so undervalued.
It is. But when it takes the world by storm, which it will.
Yep.
When it dominates the economy, and it will, then there'll be a lot of people shaking their heads. And I'm telling you, and I've said it from, you can go way back in my Twitter days, and I'll still say it today. I believe XRP will make, it has already made millionaires, but will make a ton more millionaires.
Yeah, I believe so too. I believe so. Especially as it's been adopted so early. I mean,
correct.
Well, I have to admit, most of my investment is in XRP. I hold quite a considerable amount of coins with it, and I will hold that for as many years as possible.
Well, we're on the same boat, brother.
Yeah, I think it's the one. But by the way, anybody listening, this is not financial advice at all. This
That's
is just
right.
our opinions and beliefs.
That's right.
And make sure you do your research. Look, Dan, it's been really nice chatting to you.
It's been my pleasure.
I've personally learned a lot. I look forward to seeing, you know, more of your content and some of the useful information that you put out. But if anyone's listening wants to connect with Dan, it's known as the 360 Trader. Just remind me, is it 360_Trader, Dan, on Twitter?
That is correct.
And make sure you follow him. As I said, really useful information for beginners, people that have been doing it for a few years, and even to keep your mind fresh if you're, or you consider yourself an experienced investor. But before we go, I have one crazy question to ask you. You know, you seem like a very genuine chap, but tell me about the time you got tasered by the police.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I kind of already blew the tail of that one because everybody already knows I'm security forces. So it was at the academy.
Fine. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, I'm the biggest guy in the room. And of course, I'm also the highest ranking. Everybody's getting trained on the taser gun.
Uh-huh.
And so they want to see if anybody wanted to volunteer. And like a dummy, and I do say dummy because it's one of the dumbest things I've ever done.
Yeah.
I went ahead and raised my hands and went out front and got tasered. And let me tell you, it is one of the worst experiences I have ever had in my life.
I can imagine. I can only imagine. And there's no way you'd ever catch me tasered. I'd be throwing myself on the floor before they even got it out.
I will do whatever you want me to do.
I think what you're going to have to do, Dan, is you're going to have to start. You've made submissions on Twitter where you said if a certain coin reaches a certain level, you're going to eat a burger. I think you need to start setting the level a bit higher and say you're going to get tasered.
Oh, brother, I promise you this, that will never happen.
Hey, Dan, great talking to you. And thanks so much for your time. And I look forward to seeing more of your
Nick,
content online.
It's been my pleasure, brother. Thank you so much.
You're a star. Have a great afternoon.
You as well.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
So guys, that was Dan, or aka 360_trader. You'll find him on Twitter. I highly recommend any of you that are very interested in cryptocurrencies and how to trade or invest in them to follow Dan on Twitter, because I've learned an awful lot. And as you probably realized within this episode, I've also learned a little bit from him. And he is, as I've already said, and you must have worked out, an extremely genuine guy. He really does know his stuff. And you know, the fact that he's dedicating so much of his time to all of us to educate us and help us along the way and make some money, you know, he definitely deserves some follows, retweets and some feedback. So I hope you all enjoyed it. If you have any questions for me, or you want to get in touch, or any suggestions for any new people to come onto the show that you want to hear from, I'm very ambitious and I will get in touch with anybody to bring them onto the show. So you can do this by sending me an email to Freebz, FreeBzE, and the number 15 at gmail.com. Or head over to my website, nick-stacy.com, and fill in the contact form. Or alternatively, you can check me out on Twitter. Simply type in at magicnickstacy. Please follow me and get in touch. And you will also find me on Instagram as the Nick Stacy Podcast Show. So if you liked this episode and you haven't already done so, I'd be so grateful if you could subscribe. You now have many, many options to do so. You can find me on Spotify. You can find me on Google Play. You can find me on anchor.fm. You can find me on Stitcher, Overcast and iTunes, all of which you'll be able to subscribe and listen to my content. But once again, thank you all so much for listening. I do this for all of you guys to bring you some new skills and educate yourselves, and at the same time it teaches me and educates me on more subjects and topics. So look, thank you so much for listening in, and hopefully you'll check in again soon. Take care.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.